No. Okay. All right. So I'm up here again because we're a smaller crowd, and I feel so far away from you guys when I'm way up there on the stage. So I want to be close to you. There is a new letter from our people in India whose church we support, Pastor Johnny's cousin. So you can read this. I'll put it at the resource table for after. Karen, can you put it over there right now so I don't forget? It'll be over there if you want to read it after this service, if you've been helping to support. Yeah? Is this working? Test, test. All right. If you've been helping to support our India church plant, then you're going to want to check that out after the service and let them know. You can see how things are going over there with the India church. We started a series. We're in the middle of a series. We started it a few months ago on restoration. I'm echoey. Wow. Okay. Started a series on restoration, the things in our lives that tend to start to break down just over time by life happening to you, just living life. Things tend to deteriorate in our lives, bits of our character, bits of our morality, bits of our spiritual health begin to deteriorate, kind of like this microphone. Because life just drags you down, right? Life happens and it knocks you in the nose and makes you bleed and it kind of stinks. And we got to spend time rebuilding those areas of our lives so that we can get back up to that that level of spiritual health where we should be. So I want to talk to you this morning about restoring vision. Because I know if you've ever been on a spiritual high in your life, if you've ever been red hot on fire for God, you have that vision, don't you? God has given you a specific vision for your life and where it's going, and it excites you, and it really just pumps you up and it makes you excited. And by life happening to you and your circumstances of your life battering on you, it's easy to lose that vision over time. You know, God's given us visions for this church of you know, huge congregations and multiple services and a building and a home and all that stuff. And it's so easy looking out at the 30 people that are here this morning and saying, "Where are you, God? What's going on here?" And it's easy to do that. But we've got to restore that vision. We've got to find ways to remind ourselves of that vision that God has given us for our lives, for our church, for our city, for our country. It's so easy to look around at the things that are going on in our government, the laws that are being passed. But we know that God has a plan for this country. We know that God's going to use us, but it's so easy to look around and say, "Where are you, God?" We've got to have our vision restored. So I have four keys to restoring God's vision to your life. The first one is real easy. It's very easy to do, and that's journal. When God tells you to do something, God gives you a vision for something, He gives you an idea for something, He gives you a word from somebody, write it down. Because when life smacks you in the eyeball and gives you a black eye, it's hard to remember those things at that time. But if you write them down, you can go back and refer to them, and you can remember the vision that God had given you. And it's much easier to restore it if you have it written down. You can go back and refer to it. And when you start to doubt, lose your vision, just refer back to your notes. What God has told you. Here's some of the words that people have given me over the past few years about my life and about our church. Just after becoming a pastor 2.5 years ago, somebody came to me and said, a word from God said, this is just the beginning. The best is yet to come. Cry out to me and I will answer you. I have gifts for you that you can only imagine. Seek me with all your being and see what I'll do. I love you with an everlasting love. And that's a word that I refer back to whenever I start to get frustrated or disappointed. I refer back to that. I have this promise from God that he's going to answer me, that if I seek him with all my being, just watch what he does. Back in March of 2010, Bob Griffin was here, a prophet, and he spoke to us here. He spoke to many of us individually, and he said this to me. He said, Doug, I hear the Spirit of the Lord say that you've sought me for your place of provision, talking about a home for Pathway. You've sought me for the house that I would build, for the place that I would set my name. And God said, through the digging of the wells, through the digging of the ground, you've dug out a place for me to come to. And God said, because you've dug out a place for me to come to, God said, now I'm coming. And the Lord said, watch what I begin to do. For there are many plots of land, those that have been claimed and those unclaimed. God says, even now the hidden resources and the king's treasury shall be opened up to do a new work. And God said, that which you've interceded for and that which you've believed for and hoped for and asked for, God said, no longer shall you maintain through the generosity of others this school place. But God says, I'll give you a place that's great. God said, watch what I begin to do. For the Lord says, the wealth has not yet been released, but in the heavens, God said, watch what I do. Even now I send forth my word, and even now the angels of the Most High shall be released, and they shall stake out the place. And I shall lead you to that place. And in the span of 2 years, which is next March, it shall be built, says the Lord, even 2.5 years. God says, watch what I do. You'll look back on this day and you'll say, no longer shall the thieves break in and steal and kill and destroy. But God said, you'll see that I have set my word and I'm not a man that I would lie. And I will settle you, and I will establish the work. That which you believed for, says the Lord, even now, what the enemy has staked out and claimed for himself, God said, I will remove him from that land, and I will release it into your hands, says the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And I cling to that. And if I hadn't written it down, if I hadn't transcribed it from the recording, would not remember what he said because it's long, but I wrote it down and I can refer back to it. And then last year, this past a year ago, August, God gave me a word directly, combining John chapter 14 and Joshua chapter 1, and he said to me, do not let your heart be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your heart be troubled, and do not be afraid. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified, do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. And as soon as God gave that to me, I wrote it down. And I cling to that. And it's a way to restore that vision that God has given me for my life and for our church by rereading those things, by rereading the promises that God's given me. So when God gives you a message, either through another person or maybe through your tag time, maybe you're quietly meditating on God's word and something pops into your brain that's not your normal thoughts. That's the Holy Spirit. Listen to it. Write it down. And then when the tough times come and when things seem bleak, you can look over those notes and remember what God's told you. Second thing that will help you restore your vision is to think positively. stay positive. When we get into a negative line of thinking, that's not God. Our God is not a God of confusion. Our God is not a God of doubt. Our God, He's a positive God. Our God is a good God. So when my goal in my life is to have my heart and my thoughts aligned with God's heart and His thoughts. And when I'm in a negative line of thinking, when I'm thinking negatively about circumstances and things, I'm not in line with God's thoughts. So we got to think positively because God's always positive. God's always thinking positively. Proverbs 17:22 says, "A cheerful heart is good medicine, but a crushed spirit dries up the bones." It will kill you having a negative attitude about things. It will dry up your bones. Negativity, it can impact your spiritual health. And it can limit the impact that God's power can have in your life. It doesn't limit God's power, but it can limit the amount of God's power that can be released into your life because you're not letting it in. You're blocking it off with your negativity. Lots of people, they just prefer to think negatively about things, right? I used to think this way, you know. If I expect the worst thing to happen, then if that thing does happen, then I'm not disappointed or surprised, right? And then if something good does happen, then I'm surprised and excited, right? So if I expect the worst, then it can only go up from there. But that's not the way we should be thinking. That's not the way to live your life. That's a horrible, depressing way to live your life. Expect good things from God. Expect Him to do mighty things in your life. Expect Him to release His power in your circumstances. And that will allow Him to do so. It's putting your faith into action. It's better to be positive, to trust God to bring you the things that you need and even some of the things that you want. And the other stuff, that's just extra. You don't need it. It's unnecessary. God's given you a vision for your life. And negativity can make you lose sight of that vision. Because we take our eyes off of God. And we start focusing on our problems, right? Start focusing on our circumstances, our situation. So think positively. And thirdly, we need to be anticipating God's movement. Anticipate God's movement in your life and in your circumstances. It's what a guy named Zacchaeus did. He anticipated God's movement. In Luke chapter 19, it says, "Jesus entered Jericho, was passing through, and a man was there by the name of Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector, and he was wealthy. He wanted to see who Jesus was, but because he was short, he could not see over the crowd. So you know the story. He ran ahead, climbed a sycamore fig tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way. And when Jesus reached the spot, he looked up and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, come down immediately. I must stay at your house today.' So he came down at once and welcomed him gladly." Zacchaeus anticipated where Jesus was going to be. And because of that, Jesus was able to change his life. He could have heard through the grapevine that Jesus was coming to town. He could have said, "Oh, that's great. I'll read about it on Twitter. I'll read the paper tomorrow. See what happened. See how many people he healed." But no, he wanted to be where Jesus was. And he did whatever it took to get there. He did whatever it took to catch a glimpse of Jesus' face, even if it included climbing a tree, to me, vision equals anticipation. Because God's given you a vision for your life. And how can you have that vision and not anticipate that God's going to go there? So vision equals anticipation, knowing that God is going to move. And we got to be prepared. We got to prepare accordingly for that vision to come to pass. Act based on your faith. That's what Zacchaeus did. He acted. And that's what faith is. Faith is acting on what you believe that God's going to do without any physical proof that that's what he's going to do. You just know you have this vision that God has given you for your life. So act on it. That's faith. Active faith. So if God's given you a vision for what your life is supposed to be, where he's taking you, trust that that's what he's going to do and begin to prepare for that. Take your eyes off your problems and circumstances and look instead at him. Look for his hand working in your life. If you are looking for God's hand in your life, you're going to find it. The things that some people call coincidence, lucky happenstance, that's not what that is. That's God moving in your life. And really, looking for his hand, that's the fourth point you can write down, is ask God to open your eyes. If you want to have clear vision for your life, if you want God to restore that vision to you, you've got to ask him to open your eyes. Because we get blinded. We get blinded by the world around us. 2 Kings chapter 6, we see a story of the prophet Elisha. And he was in trouble with a king. And this king was coming after him. He was sending an army after him. He found out where Elisha was staying. He sent this army to surround this little town where Elisha was staying. And Elisha's servant woke up in the morning and went outside, saw this huge army outside, and said, "Oh no. Elisha, wake up. We're in trouble. Big army outside, lots of horses, chariots, spears. Not good." But it says in verse 15, "When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. 'Oh no, my lord, what shall we do?' the servant asked. 'Don't be afraid,' the prophet answered." And this is great. "Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed, "Open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see." And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. There was this big army of the enemy surrounding his town that we could see with our eyes. It was a physical problem. God said, "I got something bigger. Those who are with us are more than those who are with them." Elisha said, "Open my servant's eyes," and he was able to see the spiritual side of things. An even bigger army was surrounding the army of the enemy. Lots of times all we can see is our problems, right? All we can see is the physical problem in front of us, that physical hurdle that we got to get over, our circumstances. But if we ask God to open our eyes so that we can see His plan, so we can see with His vision, we can see that there's a solution. You see, God is preparing a way out. God is solving the problem behind the scenes. And those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Amen? Yeah. Whatever you're facing, know that. Don't let your problems and your circumstances distract you from seeing with God's eyes. God will open your eyes and give you a fresh perspective on His vision for your life if you ask Him to do that. But you got to ask Him. You got to say, God, open my eyes so that I can see what's really going on here. We're blinded so often by the world around us, whether it's shiny things. A lot of us are distracted by shiny things, right? Shiny objects. Things that look good on the outside, but then when you get into it, you find out it's really just fluff. It's just worldly garbage. That can distract us. So can the bad things in our life, the circumstances that we face that we can't overcome on our own. You've got to ask God to restore that vision to our lives. Know that there's a bigger picture. We talked a few months ago about how God has a plan. God's plan is to give us hope and a future. That's vision. If you can remember that, it'll help you from being frustrated, help you from being overwhelmed by life. We need to take our eyes off our problems and put them on our Savior. Restore our vision, Lord. Restore our vision for Your plan for our lives. Restore our vision for Your plan for our church. Restore our vision for this city and for this country. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see Your hand at work. We can see the spiritual warfare that's going on. Lord, life is so frustrating sometimes, and it distracts us from what really matters. Lord, restore our vision. Open our eyes, Lord. Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close with this song once again. And as we do, let's use this as an opportunity to remember what God's done for us, the sacrifice that He's made for us so that we could have new life in Him. Let's Let's have our prayer teams available over to your left if we can. If there's anything in your life that you need to lift up, you need somebody to come alongside you, please go and be prayed for, and at the same time, ask God to restore your vision.